The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Lots of you will have been aware of the story of Harvey Morrison. Harvey passed away last month in July, aged just 9. And the reason his passing got so much attention is that so many of his 9 years were spent waiting for surgery. Waiting for a surgery that he was told when he was very, very young was acute and urgent. This is the story of scoliosis and spina bifida, stories we've gotten so used to telling on this show and on this station. But as I said earlier, every now and then one comes along that causes people to stop in their tracks. And the story of Harvey is one of those. And it gives me a great pleasure to welcome Stephen Morrison to studio. Stephen is Harvey's dad. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us and for agreeing to talk about this. I can't imagine it's easy. I can't imagine it ever will be. Before we get into any of, you know, the delays and the treatment and the whole issues that surround Children's Health Ireland and waiting lists and what have you, tell us a little bit about Harvey as a person.
So Harvey was, he was like a regular kid. You know what I mean? He was a boisterous young boy. We always described him as our easy child, despite all his medical complications and stuff like that. He was just a normal child going through his normal development. He'd burst into a room. Do you know what I mean? He was always wanted to be seen, to be noticed. He was just loved. He was kind of a kid that liked living life in the fast lane, you know.
What was he into?
Lots of things. Paw Patrol, anything to do with speed in his wheelchair. He was, do you know what I mean? Like, he was very good in with his wheelchair use. Loved music, so loved the Beatles. Liked the Oasis, that kind of thing, you know. So
yeah.
he was big into his music. Even in school, he'd play with instruments and stuff like that as well. So
when he was born, was he diagnosed immediately with his conditions, or
yeah, so
with the manifest later? Okay,
his scoliosis would have been picked up when he was in utero.
It was picked up
quite early. We didn't first hear about his scoliosis being a problem until he was about 2 years of age. Didn't know what it was. When he was in Temple Street, he was under a consultant who was purely for feet, because a lot of children that were born with spina bifida have a thing called clubfoot, and they correct that. So there was no spinal consultant at the time that Harvey was under, and we didn't hear about his scoliosis until he was about 2 years.
And is that because there was that an oversight now looking back, or was it that they thought I know kids can grow out of it, essentially, they'll straighten up a bit?
Yeah, I genuinely don't know if it was an oversight. At the time that we knew, it was the consultant Connor Green who had diagnosed him with it, and at that time he said it was a life or death situation for Harvey to control his scoliosis.
At that age.
So there was at that time they were considering doing a thing called a halo gravity traction.
Mm.
Halo gravity traction it's a very archaic looking system, but it's a wheelchair, and then basically you get a kind of a crown that goes around here, and you basically use weights to basically pull the thing up, and he wanted to do that for long-term home use until Harvey was an adult. And that's something that we weren't comfortable with. You know what I mean? I didn't think it was something that was doable, and I don't think, like, to do something like that, you would need nursing staff at your house at all times.
Yeah. Your kid would be in a version of the rack every day, essentially.
Their spine being
stretched and straightened.
Yeah, it'd be a very complex thing to work around, you know.
So when you're presented with that then, say, and he's 2, and suddenly somebody is telling you your child's in a life and death situation, what's that like?
You go and, like, it's a fearful thing. Do you know what I mean? You really are. You're scared. You're relying on the system to make sure that he gets everything that he wants. Now, with kids like Harvey, you've got so many other different complications as well with spina bifida and that. And, you know, this was one thing that was just always in the back of our heads, that this could really hurt him. At that point, he'd already developed early onset chest wall disease. which is basically where his ribs started to crush one of his lungs.
Yeah. Had you, or were you aware then, at this stage, this is kind of 7 odd years ago, of the issues that existed in terms of accessing, you know, surgery and theatres and treatment for scoliosis? You know, it was already out there in the zeitgeist, but I guess if it doesn't affect you, a lot of people don't pay attention to it.
Yeah, yeah. And like at that time, we kind of, you know, so this would have been kind of 2018, and we hadn't really fully engaged in the scoliosis services and the things. It was just, you know, this is kind of what it is. We need to get him to a particular point that he can have his scoliosis fixed or corrected in the best way possible. Yeah. And then, you know, over that time, there's been many things that have went wrong in the scoliosis services. Like we're talking about this for a decade now, almost. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's been a long time, and there doesn't seem to be any change in that system.
You take it for granted, don't you? What you just said there—that you get a diagnosis and you do what you need to do to fix the problem.
Yeah,
and assume that's what will happen if our kids get sick.
Yeah, and it's like it's all you're watching is the deterioration. Do you know what I mean? And you come in to see your yearly clinic or how often you're being seen. And it's like, okay, we'll push on and we'll wait till we get to this point, you know. But then at the same time, you know, there's information out there that's like, you know, this can't go beyond a certain point, you know. So like you've got like the international standard is like 45 degrees. You don't let it get over that.
Yeah.
You know, by the time Harvey got his surgery, he was 130 degrees, you know, and that's anything over 100 is life threatening.
So how conscious are you then the whole time of those points of no return?
I thought he was going to kill my son. I thought it was going to kill him. We had regular ambulance trips into hospital. That was the norm. Do you know, we spent 3 Christmases in hospital because of pneumonia. Because that lung, he didn't have the capacity to cough up, so he'd get an infection inside in the lung. And, you know, it was ICU stays. You know, I've lost count of how many times I've slept on the floor of Temple Street. You know, it's a continuous cycle. And it was the norm. I was lucky that I had work that would support me when these kind of things were happening, but it would regularly go in for two week stays. So it took a lot on our family, a toll on our family, you know.
But such an emotional toll. Every time you're going in, you think he mightn't be coming home.
That's it. Like, there's been a few times that I was preparing myself to tell Gillian, you know, that this is the worst I've ever seen him. And, you know, I don't know. You know, you have to mentally prepare yourself for that. You know,
would you think, and when you say mentally prepare yourself, would you imagine the conversation you were going to, would you imagine exactly how you're going to tell her that Harvey had died?
Yeah.
God, there's people all over the country kind of touching wood and thinking, you know, there but for the grace of God, me included. So this is continually happening, as you say, over the period from age 2 to up until recently. Tell me then about the advocacy you were engaged with in the background on his behalf, trying to get him treatment.
Yeah, so I suppose when we really... There was a time when a bunch of parents had met up, Una and Amanda Coitley. Una and Amanda, who were part, we decided that we were going to get or start to do a bit of advocacy for these kids. And at the start, it was very much about local services. And we didn't really see a problem at the time with the health service. And then there was a very particular time where things just started to fall apart, you know, within spina bifida and scoliosis care. And there was just things happening that we were concerned about, that we were hearing stories from families. And then we had our own situation at the time as well. But when things really kind of, I suppose, got the attention of the whole country was when me and Gillian put up a video of Harvey struggling to breathe. One of the times when he had pneumonia. It was, people were horrified by it, you know, and that was a regular occurrence for us.
But did that lead to anything happening?
No. If anything, I feel like the health service had gotten worse since then. and the things in Temple Street have got worse. Like we have yearly clinics that aren't being done. They're supposed to be done. That is the standard for kids with spina bifida, and it's not happening. Some of them are being pushed out 18 months. I think our longest one, I think, was 2 years, close to 2 years before they've seen them. And it's not just scoliosis care.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just the orthopaedics. There's problems in urology, do you know, where kids aren't getting timely access to care as well. So there's a lot of issues across the board.
And is there a period of time, you know, at the beginning of this where you imagine that if you apply enough pressure, they're going to have to relent? They're going to have to do something.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
And then what? That just ebbs away over time?
Yeah, I think so. I think the pressure kind of builds up for a little bit and then it seems to fizzle out. Do you know what I mean? But I think now, nearly every single week, we hear something horrifying coming out of CHI. Do you know? Like every single week, there's some sort of legal case and there's a problem there. Do you know? And I think there's a time where government has to really step in. Like, we've got a massive investment in the new children's hospital.
Yeah.
Like a massive public investment that we've all paid for. And if there's really strong concerns, if you've got loads of different groups of parents coming forward and going, there's a serious problem here, that has to be acted on. Do you know what I mean? We can't bring these problems to this new facility. That would be a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, I think that's the assumption lots of people have, is that, you know, once we get this up and running,
yeah,
a lot of these problems will disappear. The problem's the infrastructure.
Yeah, and I think
it's part of the problem, but it's,
yeah, I think like when we hear of reports coming out where unnecessary hip surgeries, non-medical grade springs being put into children, the crumbling orphans, do you know what I mean? These and toxic culture and bullying, and then we've got Garda investigation, do you know, because there was apparently a scheme set up for fraudulent funds. Like that's seriously concerning.
Mm.
That should scare everyone in the country. Do you know, the only reason why people like us see it is because we're in the system for so long.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's a lot different for some parents who will go in, their child might break a leg, they might break an arm, they get treated very well.
Yeah.
They go home and they think, isn't Temple Street great? Do you know, but when you're consistently there, you start to see those little cracks. And do you know, with Harvey, we could see so many different cracks. Like, I would say 60% of his care was really, really poor. You know, very poor. Do you know, and that was across the board. You know, we were never listened to when we had problems. We were ignored on so many different issues.
Yeah.
And issues that I can't really go into, but there was some serious concerns there.
I can't, you know, I can't for a moment imagine what you went through, and I'm looking in that regard. But I'm also conscious, you know, every day people will die, including children, and there's nothing that can be done about it.
Yeah.
You know, and with all the best medical intervention in the world, it's just the reality of things. And you find yourself almost in the worst imaginable position where something could have been done about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't rocket science.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of straightforward surgery that has been around for kind of decades.
Yeah.
Or versions of it, certainly.
Yeah.
For decades. And if the system functioned, Harvey would have gotten that surgery when he was an infant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, I don't think they were ever going to be able to do it for
a version of the starving man looking at the kind of pile of food being exported.
Yeah. And I think, like, there was so many times for intervention to take place and it didn't happen. Do you know? Like, he waited on that scoliosis list for 33 months and then he was taken off that list. We had certain surgeons in the system tell us that he wasn't strong enough for that surgery. But then we had three other surgeons who told us he should have that surgery. Do you know what I mean? Do you know, and then he was taken off the list, and those questions have never been answered of why he was taken off that list. Do you know, that doesn't make sense to us. And then, do you know, just, yeah, it's...
What was his quality of life like?
for the most part, it was really good. He'd enjoyed life. Do you know what I mean? He was, as I said, he was a young boy, and then every like a young normal child.
Yeah,
with his medical complications, but his quality of life in the last, if the, over those 33 months, was horrendous.
Really?
Yeah, it was really, really bad. Like the pain he'd go through, putting him on the floor to. Do you know what I mean? Because he was just getting so tired. He had weight reduction, like he was losing a shocking amount of weight. And he just kept getting pneumonia. And we kept bringing him in, and it was just, okay, we'll treat him. And then it was home time, do you know?
Yeah.
It was horrible for us to watch. It was horrible for a family. And I think it's, when you're living it, it's pretty bad. But, like, I think when you tell people what it's like, and they really don't kind of believe that you're telling them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, it's like this big, like, I remember telling lots of friends about things that have happened in Temple Street, and they looked at me like it was crazy.
Yeah.
They would be like, that doesn't happen in our healthcare system. And it's like, it does, do you know?
Was there a moment over those 33 months where Harvey's life, your life, or Gillian's life wasn't completely dominated by it? Was there any ever breathing room in that time?
No.
This was just constant.
Yeah, like we haven't had a family holiday in, what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because you'd always fear about things, like even we cancel our wedding because Harvey, we were planning on having quite a large wedding. And we were like, well, Harvey could get sick and we could lose all that money, do you know?
Yeah.
So we decided that we were just going to elope, the two of us. Missing holidays, missing Christmas, do you know what I mean? These are all really important things throughout a child's life. And I feel like they were stolen from us, do you know? I really do. Like, there should have been a lot more intervention into Harvey's care a lot sooner.
How are you guys doing now?
We're in autopilot mode at the moment. Genuinely, like, we're so angry with what happened. And we just don't want to see any other kids go through the same thing, or families go through the same thing. And we're seeing it, like, even in this week, we've seen one young fella from Galway who's now inoperable, do you know? And it's like this is going to continue to get worse unless government steps in and the HSE. I genuinely think CHI needs to be taken over by the HSE.
Yeah. There's, you know, there's something unnatural about a parent outliving their child, regardless of the circumstance. But I'm just conscious of what you just said as well about the fact that care of Harvey as well was all concerned. It just became your identity.
Yeah.
Your whole identity is caring for Harvey, and when maybe Gillian's in it, you're busy with advocating for Harvey, and then you kind of swap over.
Yeah.
And, you know, suddenly that's not only is he gone, but all of that is gone.
Yeah. Well, we do have another daughter who does have a disability as well, so she's got a cardiac condition. But her care, and this is something that I think has been quite unique in our situation, is within CHI, we have Harvey's care, which has been absolutely atrocious. And then we have Lila's care in the cardiac system, which has been probably the best we've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, it's like top level care. Do you know what I mean? Like, we've never had an issue with that system. So I think it's like, you know, a lot of people might look at us parents and go, oh, well, they're just, do you know what I mean? They're just, do you know what I mean? A bit of a nuisance and stuff like that. And it's like, we've seen it. I'm not just giving out because...
You've seen how it can work.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen how the health system can work. And like our,
and how transformative it can be when it works.
Absolutely. And like even Lila's cardiac team were the only people who contacted us when Harvey passed away. Do you know, no one from CHI contacted us.
So Lila's cardiac team contacted you?
Contacted us. No one from Temple Street had contacted us until we called it out online, and then all of a sudden cards came through the door and a letter from Lucy Nugent, CEO.
But, I know this is maybe a slightly glass half empty way of looking at things. And maybe you don't look at it this way. And if you don't, that's great. And I'd hate for you to do so. But the fact that Lila's gotten such great care, it makes it worse what happened to Harvey.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. Do you know, and I don't understand how you can have that in a health system where some care is good, some care is bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Or you've got loads of different departments that are hemorrhaging, do you know what I mean, that are really struggling, and then you have one that's absolutely fine. Do you know, is it an investment thing? Is there, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know how these things work in the background.
How's Gillian?
She's struggling. Yeah, she's struggling a lot with everything that's gone on.
Yeah.
Do you know? We haven't got to grieve yet. You know, I haven't stepped foot in Harvey's room. Do you know? So we are struggling. But we're determined to make sure that this stops now.
Is that a conscious thing? You're putting off grieving?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because?
Because I want to see action. I feel like my son was failed drastically and needs to be remembered in a positive light.
Yeah.
You know, something needs to change here. And that needs to happen very soon. And government, I think, needs to step in.
Do you think there's part of you that's putting off grieving because you just can't face the reality of what that's going to be like?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a horrible situation. I don't think it's ever going to leave me. Do you know, what I had to watch my son go throughout his whole life and then in his final hours was horrific. Do you know, and that's all I can see at the moment is what his last hours. I can't see the happy times. All I can see is the horrific ending to his life.
Stephen, we really, really appreciate you coming into us.
Yeah.
Thanks a million.
Brilliant. Thanks, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.